Duffy's Beer and much more in Pleasant Hills. 412-653-BEER. See all of our weekly specials at duffysbeer.com. And get your pumpkin and Oktoberfest beers before they're gone. Your South Hills headquarters for beer, pop, snacks, vapes, home brewing supplies, and all your party and tailgating needs for this week's game. Duffy's Beer and much more in Pleasant Hills and online at duffysbeer.com.
This is a man that needs no introduction.
Who is this guy?
The most knowledgeable columnist in the city of Pittsburgh.
Some in our audience don't know the finer points of hockey.
He goes by only one name.
Hotter than Bond, cooler than Bullet. Shaft.
No, it's not Shaft. It's Rossi. And he's here right now on Trip Live Radio.
Why do I have this feeling that Rossi is a friend of kickers? F-O-K. And we'll be defending Swisham today and ripping coaches.
Defending Swisham? Oh, there's something Freudian there.
Oh, sorry.
You're going to go. I see where this is going. No, you've tipped your hand now. You're going to go after Swisham for allowing himself to get hurt in the Hall of Fame game, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Did you see by any chance, I just noticed this, it was tweeted to me a couple times now from some former listeners in Boston, that the Instagram post for the New England Patriots today was simply Stephen Gostkowski kicking a field goal. Is that a little jab, or is that for him winning Player of the Month, or what? What was that exactly, do you think?
Yes, I think. Both of those. What do you think, Rossi? Who's more to blame, kickers or coaches today?
I actually did blame Swisham partly in my column today. So, I mean, I still think he was stupid to try to pretend he was a football player in an exhibition game, and the Steelers might not be in this mess if he hadn't done that. So, but yeah, no, I blame the kicker. Look, I get all the other arguments about what the defense couldn't hold and what the, you know, the time management. I get all of that. And I'm not saying those aren't factors. He makes one of two kicks, they win that game. Because the Ravens weren't driving down to score a touchdown at that point. That Ravens offense was as bad in those moments as the Steelers had been, except they made that one play. But they weren't getting into the end zone if they go down six. And if the kicker makes one or two field goals, the Steelers win that game on a short week against a desperate team with a backup quarterback. I thought the coach had them in position to win the game if the guy does his job one out of two times. And he didn't, and they lost, and there's going to be all kinds of questions afterwards. But to me, sometimes it's that simple.
Because of that, do you think they feel that way, and will they get a new kicker today? Is that even possible?
Well, I'm starting to think kickers are the most precious commodity, not named quarterbacks in the NFL, because the Steelers are on their third, and they can't seem to figure out how to get anybody that can do the job. I'm not saying this because Josh Scobie had a bad night. Does anybody really look at what he's done so far and think, boy, that's the guy they should go forward with?
Well, no, because, no, because... You know, this was fine weather. He kicked in a dome in St. Yeah. Louis. Maybe I'll give him a pass for New England to a degree, but you know, what's it going to be like when Heinz Field gets bad or when he's kicking in frigging Cleveland on the lake when it's windy? You know what look at where things can go from here, it's going to get even worse is what I'm saying.
You have to. You have a bit of time here. You have to go audition kickers. You have to go find somebody that can do that job better because right now, they should be 3-1. And I'm not saying they would have won the game, but it might have been a different game if he didn't miss a couple in New England. Might have been. As bad as they were defensively in that game, you know, there were still moments in that game in New England where, you know, they didn't have what was essentially a touchdown minus an extra point because of their kicker. He misses an extra point. I mean, every time he kicks the ball in the situation, whether it's an extra point or a field goal, you find yourself going, is he going to make it?
Rob, what's amazing about your point about kickers and how much of a commodity they are, you think back when they got Jeff Reed, everybody's like, who's Jeff Reed? And then he was here for 8 years, and for most of it, he was pretty good.
Yeah.
And when they got Scobie, I was chief amongst people saying, oh, he's an accomplished kicker. That's a good pickup. I'm glad they got him. Garrett Hartley before that, I was like, oh, he's got kind of a track record. And Swisham, when they got Swisham, most people were looking at his track record and say, oh, my God, this guy is awful. Why'd they get him? He's a choke artist. So the two guys that came in with the most questions have ended up being good acquisitions, and the other guys that they got have been bad.
Yeah, and I don't pretend to know what the art is of identifying what's going to work and what isn't going to work with a kicker. I just know from what I've seen, and from what I've seen is the Steelers cannot go forward with this kicker. There has to be somebody that they can find that will give them a better shot and have more confidence in. All of the things that he was advertised to do, a strong leg, you know, accurate, veteran, you haven't seen any of it. You just haven't seen any of it. And like I said, there's a lot of reasons there's a lot of points you could make about why they lost that game. But to me, the point to make is he missed two kicks. And it was so bad that when they got across midfield in the overtime, they weren't even thinking about it. So how do you go forward with that guy?
Well, as I told these guys before too, Rob, in the tunnel coming back up the steps, he was taking abuse from some of his own teammates. I'm not 100% yeah. certain they knew he was in earshot, but and Tomlin certainly didn't give him a vote of confidence after the game when he was asked about it. So I agree with you, but when you give up a draft – no, it was a conditional draft pick that they got. I wonder if they cut him, what that does to the draft pick.
Well, here's the other thing, right? They've now spent two draft picks on guys that might not be with – or terms, one of them might not be with them, Scobie.
And Boykin isn't playing.
Boykin has seemingly gone MIA, and everybody thought when they went and got that guy that he was going to be a guy that would come in here and be somebody that they, you know, would contend for a starting spot, and he can't even get on the field. So, I mean, something's amiss there. I'll say this. Yeah, I know you guys are in the locker room, too. I mean, I saw Kevin Colbert after that game. Now, I'm only judging by about a year and four games here, but I've never seen him look quite that distraught after a game. I haven't. Again, we're talking about a year and four games here, but he looked like he had just been punched in the mouth repeatedly after that. And as I might, too, if I had, you know, spent two draft picks on guys that probably weren't going to be with the team by Saturday morning. Or certainly not a factor with the team.
Because if Scobie makes one kick, then everybody's going to Kevin Colbert and saying, hey, where did you find Ross Cockrell? Kevin, you are a genius.
I'm not blaming him, Tim. I'm just saying he looked like a guy who had just given up a draft pick for a kicker that blew two kicks. I mean, that's, you know, just saying he looked disgusted. The Boykin thing, I think, is something we haven't probably touched on enough because, to be frank, I mean, the defense has, for the most part, I think, has exceeded expectations. Is that fair to say?
I mean,
I know they
gave
up 197 yards rushing yesterday, but I mean, I don't think any of us had high expectations. So I think the defense has been good enough through these four games to get them 3-1 for the most part. I don't know. This changes their whole season. They, from this standpoint, right? They have no wins in the conference. They're now down a home loss in the division, and their quarterback is out, as opposed to being 1-0 in the division, having a 1-1 conference record, and being 3-1 going into, you know, a longer stretch where they could get their backup some practice. I mean, it's a completely different discussion we're having right now about the Steelers.
Rob Rossi, our Trib columnist, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. here on Trib Live Radio. Did you ever think you would pen in one of your columns, Rossi, "Laid back, the dog was not after this loss"?
I was hoping I'd get to it eventually. I didn't think it would come in the same column in which I only half-jokingly suggested they go out and try to sign Megan Klingenberg to be the kicker. You know, and I'm only half-joking. It was a joke at the beginning of the year, but I don't think she could do all that much worse. And I know she won't at least try to make a tackle. Snoop. Where would we be without Snoop?
Where would we
seriously
be?
I mean, how much better does he make tough Steeler losses? I mean, we should really all get together and send him something. By something, I think you know what I mean. Just to thank him for the entertainment he gives us when they lose a game like this. Because it is, quite frankly, it is the best thing going.
You think he's pretty well taken care of in that capacity? I don't think he needs any help from us.
No.
You send him like a Pittsburgh version with like coleslaw and fries.
Well, since you mentioned the upset nature of Kevin Colbert, Rossi, where do you think this puts the Steelers here now in terms of the season, the race, and everything else?
I think it's going to be very tough if Cincinnati wins to make up two games over the final, 12 weeks. I think it puts them in a position where they probably now have to sweep Cincinnati and you know, try to figure out if they, you know, they probably have to go 5-1 now in the division. I'm talking to win the division now, because to make up two games with Michael Vick as your quarterback for maybe the next 3-5 or whatever, I think it's going to be very, very tough for them now to do any better than 10 wins. And I think you're going to need more than 10 wins to win the division if Cincinnati goes to a 4-0. And I think then that puts you in a spot where you're contending with a bunch of other teams that are going to be most likely in the, you know, 8-10 win range. And as we saw last year, the Steelers won the division, but had they not won the division, it would have been tough for them given the tiebreakers. And again, they're already down 0-2 in the conference. So I think it really puts them at risk of not going back to the playoffs, given all those circumstances. 3-1, it's a completely different story. They would have given themselves some room. Now they have no room for error, and they're kind of set up to have error given the injuries, especially if they don't find a kicking game. Because if you're not going to have Ben Roethlisberger, you're not going to be able to get into the end zone as much. You're going to need a better kicking game. So, yeah, I'm not as super optimistic compared to what I was going into the season.
Well, have a great weekend. We got college football to tide us over, and then the Buccos next week, and we'll be a while before we see this team again.
Way this week is going for Pittsburgh. The Pirates are going to end up in Chicago next week. So, I mean, this is the way it's going. So,
yeah. Thanks, Rossi. Good stuff, my friend.
Hold on. Right, Rob, are you still there?
Yeah.
All right, do we have it, Josh? Do we have it ready to go yet? Oh, okay, we had to play for you. Maybe we'll do it next time you're on. But if you didn't hear it, somebody sent Josh Scobie's song, a Scobie song. Is that from Killer Chihuahua?
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
Ken actually sang it and executed it perfectly. So what we're expecting for the next time when you come on with us, you got to sing something. You got to have a song prepared to try to top Ken.
I will gladly sing. But here's the problem. I've heard Ken sing, so now I'm already feeling super confident.
All right, we'll have it on the podcast. And that probably will be the only thing we podcast from today's show, just so it stands out. Thanks, Rob.
Hey, guys.
Rossi's a karaoke expert. I'm not going to put my skills up against Double R. He's every Christmas down at the Trib party.
He could belt him.
By the way, looking at some snap counts from Pro Football Focus guys from yesterday, Jarvis Jones played 26 snaps, according to them.
I noticed one of them.
Okay. Harrison played double that, 49. 49 snaps for James Harrison, 26 for Jarvis. Dupree played 46. I don't think Jarvis played in the second half at all, because I think I had tweeted out at halftime he had like 25 snaps. So, actually 15. Okay, so he had 11 snaps after the half. So either they thought he stunk or he was hurt or combination or... So I agree with Rossi. The defense has exceeded expectation. He's the one guy who we were hoping, you know, he needed to have a big breakout year. It's not happening so far.
Well, I still wonder if Boykin's 100% healthy, too. Everybody wonders why he's not playing, and maybe he right after he complained about not playing, he hurt his groin right in practice.
Yeah.
So he might just not be okay to play.
Yeah, he didn't play at all, not one snap. Ross Cockrell, 54 snaps yesterday, and not one for Brandon Boykin.
Pretty good draft picks invested there in those two guys, huh?
Oh, man. Offensively, your guy D'Angelo Williams, Tim, 6 big snaps. Sammy Coates, 30. Chris Hubbard got 11 in the jumbo packages, which worked so well. And, of course, the big one from Alejandro Villanueva as a wide receiver. Want to get to more of your emails here. Also, Tim, you wanted to...
I wanted to play the Bettis soundbite. Maybe
Bettis sound,
we can cue that up while Ken's song is downloading.
Okay. I can do it again. It's only 4 lines. I mean,
well, you did it so well
the
first
time. Ken,
all
right.
Sometimes when you hear something live, you don't want to hear it memorized. You know what I mean? So let's play the Bettis thing here. This is Bettis talking before the game down in the press conference room about Ben not rushing back, and I thought he was pretty open. This is the most open I've ever heard him be on this topic.
I would tell him to be patient. Because the regret that I have in that I had an injury that I sustained late in the season, and I tried to come back And that one of the games was against Baltimore in the playoffs, and I took a shot, and my leg went numb. I couldn't play in that game, and then I tried to play in the next game, the AFC Championship game, and really couldn't play. And, you know, as I go back, I really say to myself, I really did my team a disservice because I took a spot when somebody else that could have helped us should have been out on the field. And so my message to Ben would be patient and come back when you're healthy, because coming back when you're not healthy not only hurts yourself, but it hurts the team. It was one of those deals where, you know, I hurt my team by not being available but wanting to play. And you have to safeguard yourself against that. So I would tell Ben, be patient and come out there when you're ready.
And, of course, you will ignore that and try to come back in 2 weeks. And what exacerbated that last night is, I think, the feeling that you put out there, Ken, that, you know, the guy who's sitting behind the goalpost in the close end is looking at Ben saying, hey, he looked good. He'll be ready.
Well, not only that, these doctors. How about this David Chow who keeps tweeting?
Anthony Becht. You know, everybody's diagnosing Ben's knee from a million miles away and saying, oh, I'll be back in 2 weeks. Ben hears that. He's going to try to come back in 2 weeks, even if he's not ready, and he's going to stink like he has time in and time out when he's tried to come back from injuries too fast.
Like, here's this guy. He's at ProFootballDoc on Twitter, David J. Chow, MD. And he says, in regards to Ben, yes, Tomlin has a no-crutch rule on the sidelines, but there's no way the Steelers medical staff would allow Ben to be full weight-bearing if it was bad for his bone bruise. Off crutches indicates the bone bruise is better than anticipated. Medical staff may have advised no crutches for him, but there's no way they let him down there against advice. It's braced for the MCL. Overall return, the delay, you know, less likely that the bone bruise.
Does he know that Tomlin won't let you on the sidelines with crutches, and that he wanted to be on the sidelines so desperately that he might still be using them everywhere but standing there for the game?
He was sitting a lot too, by the way.
Yeah. So right off the bat there, I don't think the guy knows the full story before he opens his mouth.
Well, no, he's saying he knows they have that rule. He directly said that. I know Tomlin has the no-crutch rule, but there's no way they would allow him to put full weight-bearing if bad for bone bruise. And I'll take his word for it. Yeah. We'll see. I don't know who this guy is.
Have you ever heard Bettis say that?
What's that?
Guy, I regret 2001. I still regret 2001.
Before last night, no.
That was interesting to me because it's a good point. You know, I wonder if he had been more honest with Cowher going into the game, if how things would changed game plan.
Athletes just, there's no, has anyone ever gotten hurt and thought, oh, this is bad, I'm going to be out of a year? No, you may be afraid. You know, everyone thinks they're coming back sooner than they are. Everyone thinks they're more invincible than they are. Give me a shot. I want to play. I mean, I think your mentality, I think it's easier to say that after you're retired than it is if you're still in the middle of the fray and your team's struggling without you.
I remember going into that Ravens game being really nervous, especially after the whole needle thing happened right before the game, because I just didn't know if Amos Arraway could handle the load against Baltimore, and he was really good in that game. And going back and looking at it now, I wonder, you know, with the Patriots tactics aside, notwithstanding, you know, if Amos would have been a better fit against that defense, given the fact that Bettis was run down anyway, and, you know, Cordell could have dinked and dunked it out to him, maybe they would have won that one if Bettis didn't try to go. And maybe he's right in talking about a regret.
Amos' biggest problems were always without the ball. I mean, he was a good talent with the ball.
Did Bettis play the whole game in the 0-1 AFC Championship? Like
as he said, I think he got about, 10, 15 snaps. He was 9 carries, 8 yards, if I remember right, or 8 carries, 9 yards. But they were in so many third and longs because they got nothing going in the run game. He was always coming out anyway.
Sports.tribweb.com to email the program. Tim Benz, Guy Junker, Ken Laird, Josh Taylor along. Vicky says, I don't get all excited about this Ben not being on crutches stuff. The announcer said the NFL doesn't allow anybody down there on crutches, so it's another stupid NFL rule to me.
Oh, I thought it was just a Tomlin rule.
I thought it was just a Steeler rule, too.
I'm not sure on that.
I've seen guys on the sideline in crutches, haven't you? It seems like.
I don't remember. Come to
think
of it.
Vicky signs off in capital letters, Scobie sucks.
Well, that's more important, yeah.
Tim emails, the Steelers never run well when the other team expects them to, guys. That 21-yard bell run was somewhat unexpected at that point. They caught him by surprise. That's a huge run, though. That is, I mean, I can't totally dismiss what you're saying, Guy, that you got to give Bell a touch or two, because his talent was on display last night, you know, beyond catching them by surprise. Le'Veon Bell is just good. He's just plain good. He had some jukes in there. I hate the juice nickname, but he's got something that few running backs in history have, just a little escapability. And patience, great patience to let things develop.
Yeah, very good patience. Even in the overtime, the one time he got the ball and he or was that late in the fourth quarter, but he just, I mean, he hopped around back there for, it seemed like 4 seconds until he picked a place to go because nothing was available right away.
Chaz says, I can't believe no throws to Heath Miller in the middle. The tight end is always open in the middle. Where was Heath?
Crowd was catch. So desperate to chant his name, they gave it to him after that block where he trucked that. Who was it that he trucked all the way? Is it Darryl Smith? Who was the Raven that he took about 10 yards deep into the play?
Oh, I didn't
at
see
the
that.
End of the game. Well, what we thought would be the end of the game.
Of course, the first play of the game was designed for Heath, and that didn't go so well.
Oh, boy.
It was almost a pick six on play one.
What if it had been a pick six on play one?
Oh, my God, yep.
That'd have been great. Tuitt had it. They had 5 sacks total.
Yep.
Tuitt had one or at least one.
Yeah, I mean, Tuitt and Hayward are prime examples of what I'm talking about. They made so many good individual plays, yet at the same time, there were creases and seams in that defense for 4 sets.
Tuitt and Williams stopped Flacco in the quarterback sneak. Yeah. And, you know,
sack apiece, and Hayward on a couple of occasions ran guys down from the backside. Tuitt did the same thing once to Allen, not Forsett, but Allen. You know, everybody on that defense, with the exception of Jones, I think you could come up with, think of a play and say, wow, that stood out. And
Keith Butler deserves some credit, too. I mean, scheme-wise, the design for the pick play that Cockrell had, the blitzing of DBs and dropping guys into strange coverages.
Yeah, maybe. You know, there were a lot of times where I thought Flacco was looking. You could tell Flacco was looking at a Steeler defense he wasn't used to seeing. Because it's become almost rote for Flacco to go against this defense.
Right.
I just reiterate, though, there were collective moments where they all stunk at the same time.
Yeah, they did get gashed in the run game.
That drive that started with the Forsett, I don't know if I've ever seen a drive that was that easy. The only one that leaps to mind is Green Bay in the preseason with Eddie Lacy and Rodgers, right when Jordy Nelson got hurt. That play. That series.
The Campanero run. Baltimore up 7-3.
Drive, yeah.
No. The Campanero. No. I'm talking. Did that bridge a quarter? Am I forgetting that? I'm talking about the one where Forsett started with the 33-yard
run.
The
same drive.
Okay.
No, there might have been another one. Oh, the Forsett 33. That was when the Kamar Aiken touchdown drive. There were two of them.
Yes, that one. That one. That's the one I'm talking about with Forsett. He started with 33 yards, and then they just kept 17-12, right. And then they ended up throwing the ball to Aiken in the end zone. And was there a pass interference penalty in there, too, maybe?
No.
That was the other one. Yeah, that was the P.I.
on
Blake.
See, I thought the one that Campanero got the touchdown on is where I thought that was incredibly easy. 3 straight 11-yard runs for Forsett. I mean, there was no resistance at all.
Yeah, it was weird. It's just a weird night on defense.
11-10, 11-11, 5, 4-4, 6, a no gain, and then a 7-yard touchdown. I mean, that was just like a hot knife through butter.
I will say this one drive, the one that started off with the Forsett 33-yarder, the one that wound up being the Aiken TD, Vince Williams was on the field and Spence came out. I did notice that. And Spence had been playing pretty well up until then.
Jeff B. emails the show. He says, please remember that our brilliant front office begged Scobie to take a 2-year contract, but he rejected the offer. Josh is the early favorite for Jagoff of the Week for not only missing the field goals but not taking the cash for 2 years. I think I saw Sweetsham on the sideline with voodoo dolls of all these replacement kickers he is poking one at a time.
That's a good point about Scobie being Jagoff of the Week. Not so much for his kicking, but you think anybody's going to sign you now? You just pissed away an extra year by trying to get too much money. Wow. Who's more of a Jagoff, Colbert for offering it or Scobie for turning it down?
He might get signed again, though. There are so many retread kickers. Who's the guy they brought in, the 40-year-old they brought in for the tryout?
Remember, Dallas and Washington both were laughing at Pittsburgh for signing Sweezum. And I couldn't blame him at the time.
Yeah, right. He had a terrible track record in Washington. But they brought in not only Garrett Hartley, they brought in... Who were the other guys they brought in?
Alex Henry.
Alex Henry, he was the younger guy, right?
I don't remember who the other guy was.
They brought in some
off
old
the
guy.
Giants.
I don't know. Jay Feely.
Jay Feely, that's right.
So is he still out there? Would you go for him, though?
Sure.
He's 39.
Well, I mean, at this point, are you just chasing more bad kicks? You know, if you're looking at track record, I still think you have a better shot. Is, you know, is the confidence so shot both from within Scobie himself and with the team in Scobie that it's irreparable? Or do you go for a guy who hasn't been as good a kicker as him just to get somebody different in here? I think you got to be careful. You can really screw it up if you go chasing someone that turns out to be even worse.
I don't know if that's possible.
I started my TV report last night. The Steelers entered this game with Baltimore worried about an injury to their quarterback when the injury that affected them the most was one that happened in the preseason to a kicker.
Well, Guy, you said it yourself earlier. I mean, like the Jay Feely, the Alex Henry, you know, these kickers, like, and that intel you had of the players that were hating on Scobie coming up through the tunnel, that's pretty alarming, right? I mean, if half the team is ready to mutiny based on the kicker they got.
It was one guy, and I couldn't tell because everybody had their helmets on. I don't know who said it. And someone else, after he said it, said, easy. You know, so, I mean, it was heat of the moment stuff, and but it happened.
Mitchell. So, I think it was Mitchell.
I think it was Josh Taylor. He was walking up with his headsets on.
He's on your lifetime hit list.
Yes,
Josh Taylor.
He is.
If you're Tomlin, though, and you know that half the team is just hating on the kicker, and like he's getting abused in the locker room, and people are, you know, calling him names, so does that entice you to make a change, or is it just, hey, cool it, we're going to try him again, we're sticking with him?
Somebody,
that's a tough call.
I can't remember who it was that was asked in the locker room, gave it the "we win as a team and we lose as a team." I didn't see who it was. I want to say it was Hayward, but I could hear the audio literally speaking through gritted teeth. We win as a team, we lose as a team. Trying so hard to say the right thing, but clearly saying it in a disingenuous fashion.
Speaking of which, we'll hear from Cameron Hayward a little post-game coming up. Quick pause. We'll be back. Tons of emails to get through. We'll pick pork at noon. We've got college games to pick.
Oh, we
got to
do it again. We can't just be done after one game. This has been my best week so far, so I think we should just be
done.
Yeah,
you and Guy are 1-0. Guy, you were right. 2.5, not 3.5. That made the difference. They're always 3-point games. You were prescient on that point. We'll hear from Cam/Ironhead Hayward, who had the Ironhead blackouts under his eyes yesterday. Even John Harbaugh made comment about that after the game. Steelers defense, how well did they play? Who do you blame for last night, coaches or the kicker? This is Trib Live Radio in the Morning Show, brought to you by Invisible Fence Brand.
Experience layers of handcrafted perfection in every sip of Dunkin' Donuts' delicious new macchiato, made with steamed milk, layered with rich and creamy flavor, topped with a double shot of Dunkin's rich, freshly brewed espresso. It's a beautiful combination that tastes as good as it looks. Find your macchiato moment today and enjoy the flavor of fall with a new hot or iced pumpkin macchiato. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Sturman and Larkin Ford, number one certified pre-owned Ford dealer in the South Hills. Home of the $39.99 state inspection, emissions, and tire rotation. Visit StermanLarkin.com for other coupon offers. Over 100 used vehicles in stock. Over 40 low-mileage Ford certified units to choose from. Largest certified selection in the South Hills. Sturman and Larkin Ford on Regis Avenue in West Mifflin, right up from Century 3 Mall. Go online at StermanLarkin.com. That's StermanLarkin.com. Tomlin Tuesdays on Trib Live Radio. Hear the Mike Tomlin press conference on Tuesdays during the regular season at noon.
That Mike Tomlin show, that's a hell of a show. You need to tell it on a weekly basis.
I'll check it out.
I mean, I hear it's pretty good.
Tuesdays on Trib Live Radio are brought to you by Walnut Capital Real Estate Services, serving your real estate needs in Pittsburgh and surrounding counties with a combined 28 years of experience. Susan Gill and Kevin Doney of Walnut Capital Real Estate Services are here to help, whether you're a property owner, investor, or first-time buyer. Looking to buy, sell, or lease residential or commercial property? Walnut Capital Real Estate Services is just the right fit for you.
Call them at 724-861-0800. That's 724-861-0800 for Walnut Capital Real Estate Services.